Yeah. Thank you, Rob Podcast, episode number 2. Special guest co-hosts are here today. MC Rents.
Yes, sir.
And Money.
Yeah.
Money. And in the background, KC Moe.
Yeah.
Slow on
Beyonce. Yeah. There's 3 of them.
Yeah, I got to have my hype and my manager. Got to feel cool.
You do.
Entourage.
MC Rents looks cool enough. He doesn't need this. I mean, but you guys, you know, no offense to you guys, though.
Can you see my gap teeth? Check it out. Look. Take a look.
Closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob Podcast. Unofficially brought to you by Pearson Salted Nut Roll. Don't be a butthole. Eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll.
Nice. Very nice.
So we're back for episode number 2. If you recall episode number 1 with Johnny Question Mark. Yeah. We talked about the best albums of 2012. If you remember that year, and he briefed us on his Johnny Question Mark album coming out, which ironically has tracks produced by MC Rents right here.
But
today we're here to talk about a couple things. First of all, we're going to touch on an album, a very impressionable album in our youth. Would you agree, Rents?
Yeah,
unbelievably impressionable,
unprecedentedly,
unprecedented,
unprecedentedly great. Impressionable. Yeah.
It made me get into hip hop.
It did. And that album, Cypress Hill, Black Sunday. You remember that? You like that, don't you?
I'm nodding. Can you hear me nodding?
I can hear
you. Did you just mention you that to me on the way over here?
I don't know.
You asked me if I had that CD in the car.
You can hear Scott's mom's nod. Damn it. Scott's mom.
Say it again.
Scott's. You can hear.
The silence. I hear a lot of it.
No, that's good. I wish it was live. That would have been funnier if it was live. Unless you leave it in there.
I could.
Yeah.
So tell me, how did you acquire this album? When's the first time you heard it?
I believe I got it for doing my chores. Every couple weeks I'd get a tape. I'd get to go pick one out. I heard something on MTV. I was insane in the brain. I was like, "Hey, I usually like rock and roll, but this is pretty dope."
That was a good era where rap and rock kind of came together, and Cypress Hill was at the forefront of that.
Well, yeah.
It was the beginning of it.
I wouldn't consider that.
So I was 14 when that album came out. 14. So that made you 10, 11?
12.
13?
11.
11. Well, let's go with 11.
Sixth grade.
Okay.
11. I think it came out in the fall of sixth grade.
Okay. So you were just, or you were, you weren't, you were, you hadn't even hit puberty yet.
No, I did.
You did?
When I was 12, I talked like this.
Rents's nuts dropped when he was like 9.
Yeah, but I still can't grow a beard, ironically.
Yeah. I'd say whatever you got going there is working. You got it.
I'm surprised you even recognize me, actually.
With your Fu Manchu?
My beard.
Oh, that's not a Fu Manchu. That's something else. Fu Manchu is this guy. Ra's al Ghul.
The opposite.
All right, so tell me, what do you like about this album? What's so iconic about it? What's your reason? Well, what do you know about it?
You know, it.
What you know?
It just, the nasally rhymes along with the pothead vibes and the production is freaking beyond. I don't know. At that point, all I had heard for hip hop was some Tag Team, some Vanilla Ice. Like, there was the poppy hits that every kid liked, but Cypress Hill, like, I didn't even like UMTV raps. I was always metal, and Cypress Hill just boom! Paved the way.
Cypress Hill, you know, it was kind of a 1-2 punch. The Chronic came out, and it was like, smoking weed is cool. And then Black Sunday came out, and it was like, pio, smoke weed.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
No, that's because, when Chronic first came out, I wasn't even into hip-hop yet.
Right.
I heard Black Sunday, and then literally a couple months later, I got Doggy Style on the Chronic.
Right.
Boom.
That was like a 1-2-3 then. Although the Doggy Style wasn't necessarily all about weed. The Chronic and Black Sunday.
Yeah.
But that's cool. You know, that's now you got bands like Cottonmouth Kings and Who else is there?
MC Rance.
MC Rance. That's all about weed. You're not a weed. You're not a weed band, though.
Nope.
No, you're not. So Insane in the Brain, you saw the video and you were just like, damn, the fuck is this?
Yeah, they had, it was really live. It had the pit, the punk mosh pit type feel. And
yeah. See, that's what I'm saying.
It was, I guess you mesh it too. But they were by no means rock.
No. That's what I'm saying is
they tried. Skull and Bone. And
they weren't afraid to be like, shit. You know, I'll do a show with Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did,
because they were stoners.
All right.
Smoking weed makes you smarter.
That's a fact, even. That's do the research.
Fact.
Do the research. Google it.
I'm a believer.
Search it once and then research it.
All right. I remember when I first heard, there was a single. Cypress Hill had the single Hand on the Pump, and How I Could Just Kill a Man, I think, was all on one. Like one of those cassette tapes that one side was one single. It was in a little sleeve. Remember those deals?
Yeah. But
and that's how I became a Cypress Hill fan. And then Insane in the Brain came out Black Sunday, and I was like, shit.
So you were into them with the first record?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much were you into hip-hop at that point?
I was knee-deep. Crisscross. Vanilla Ice, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch,
That's real?
Yeah, that's real. That's not a joke.
That's real life.
I think, and when you bought Black Sun, I think it came with like some rolling papers and like an eighth of weed. And
I had the tape. I had it on tape.
Yeah. And did you get the eighth of weed with it or? No, not yet.
It was just a nickel.
Off subject,
but I remember with Doggy Style, there was that rumor with it inside the middle ring. Do you guys remember that rumor?
No.
Like, you could hold up in the light, and they're like, there's weed in there. They put weed in every CD. And I'm like, whoa.
And
I didn't smoke weed, but I'm like, it's probably true.
Right. In my weed smoking experience, I would say that this album, Black Sunday, definitely started that.
You were smoking back then?
This was like...
You were a naughty boy, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
I was
a
goody-goody. I was a fucking vagina.
Yeah. I agree. No. This was... What age did I meet you? It was high school.
We knew each other
High school. But it was probably... You were a freshman, I think?
Yeah.
So it was not long after this.
Through D.C. The neighborhood. You and D.C. were neighborhood pals.
Right.
Right.
Well, it was kind of some mutual friends, football games and whatnot. You know what white folk do?
Yeah, up in them parts.
Yeah,
northern burbs.
I had some facts about this album though. You know, some interesting stuff. You know, he had like the Chronic, which was like a featured album. That wasn't just a Dr. Dre album. That was like features and. Nowadays, any album, it's rare to buy an album these days that doesn't have at least one song featuring a guest. This album had no guests. Not one.
That's,
not any.
That, I guess that's another crossover. That's the rock and roll. That's part of, they were a band. They had the DJ, the hype man, and they were a band.
But I think after this album, it was pretty much, they had features on every album.
Did they?
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Another interesting fact, every track except for one was produced by DJ Muggs. Muggs, a producer. Except for one track. And ironically, that one track, I Ain't Going Out Like That, was nominated for a Grammy. It didn't win, but still, it's like, do you think Muggs was like kicking himself in the ass? He's like, I shouldn't have given up that track or something.
Nah.
Or allowed that track on the album.
That dude that made that beat must have had some pull in the industry.
Right.
Must have given
T-Ray. His name's T-Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just sounds like a dude that gives ZJs. T-Ray?
T-Ray.
And then what else did he do?
He's actually done a lot of stuff. I looked him up. He actually, after this album, he went on to do more Soul Assassin stuff, Funk Dubious, and more Cypress Hill.
Well, where the fuck? Learn something new?
So the Judgment Night soundtrack, which had
Helmet
and House of Pain on a track, he did remixes for that song, which I haven't heard, and I'd love to hear because I love that song. Actually, the whole soundtrack.
How did Ain't Going Out Like That get... I don't know. Was that a video?
I don't remember if it was.
I ain't going out.
Yeah, there was.
Man, supposed to go. I ain't going out.
Yeah. I
ain't going out.
That was bad. But that was their most commercially successful album too, Cypress Hill.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's because they really hit that. They actually tried to do more of the rock crossover with that Skull and Bones album. You ever heard that one?
Which one was the double disc? You said Black Sunday was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Skull and Bone. That was,
it just progressively kind of dropped with each album.
Yeah. Their most recent is actually pretty solid, though.
I like the Stoned Raiders album, which I think was the one before that.
I never got into that one either.
How about the one after this, right? Temples of Boom?
Yeah, that was good. That had some good trippy. It was that same style of production. Right.
It wasn't much different from this one.
It was, a progression, but not quite from any of the other ones.
And then they progressively got a little more poppy. Not poppy, but they tried to go for something like a pop sound on the fourth album. That one had that, Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
Oh, no, that's a good album, too.
Yeah, it is.
That's a really, isn't it just four?
Four, yeah. So this album did not spark in your brain what it did in mine that, hey, man, I gotta smoke some weed. I gotta start smoking weed.
No, I knew from a youngster that I always would smoke weed. I was just gonna wait until after high school, pretty much. Once I was done.
That was a wise choice.
Being a jock, I knew better. My dad even offered me when I was like 12. I'm like, nah, Dad, I'm going to be the responsible one here and say, no, I got to play some baseball.
Wow, that's a good choice, man. And then, admirable.
Admirable. Baseball is all I gave a fuck about back then.
Right. And then hip-hop from this point forward, too.
Well, I mean, hip-hop, too, but that was just, it was always baseball then.
How about you, Money? What's your story? Huh? What do you know about Black Sunday?
Nothing much. Wasn't one of my things back then. I was more into Bone Thugs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother topic. We gotta get on some bone. We gotta get on some bone eventually here.
That's what Scott's mom said.
For people that don't know, who's Scott? Yeah. Who the fuck are you talking about?
Scott be the drum jockey for us. The drummer / DJ / fucking center of he's our guiding light.
The center of attention?
He's just there and strokes his beard and that's all he needs to do.
We should start calling him the center of attention because he loves it.
Really? Yeah.
See, half the time,
COA,
he's trying to steal the show.
For real. He was recently inducted to the beard corps.
Nice.
Really? He did?
Yeah.
Nice. Did he get that letter in the mail or did they give him a phone call?
They gave him a sticker.
That's it?
That's all I know.
Well, he'll get there. He'll get there. How about you, Casey? Casey Mo? What do you know?
It's Casey Black Sunday? Min.
Casey Min?
Casey Min.
Casey Min.
That was awful.
Yeah. It's all right.
Not a whole lot.
It was full of awe.
So where were you in Black Sunday? Where were you when Black Sunday came out?
What year was that?
It was 94.
I was in second grade. I wasn't doing much of anything when it comes to music.
Casey had to get Casey had to get the black X's on his hands just to come in to record this today.
For sure.
No, you're not that young.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Huh?
I'm like, what?
But you know the album? Have you listened to it?
Oh yeah.
Cypress Hill?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah? Do you like Cypress Hill?
Who doesn't like Cypress Hill?
Yeah, for real.
I don't know.
Who doesn't?
Some hipster who doesn't know anything.
They like Cypress Hill.
I've never heard of anybody complaining about Cypress
Hill.
No. You know what a hipster would say? I like their old stuff.
you.
I don't like the new stuff.
I almost punched you just for saying that. Pretending to be hipster, man. Actually, if I heard somebody say, I don't like Cypress Hill Black Sunday, I would probably punch them.
Yeah, they deserve it. Seriously.
Right in the nuts.
Actually,
to the baby makers.
You said you didn't really get into it, but you.
I still like
you respect
them.
It, right?
I still listen to them. Yeah.
You know, here
even the first CD I ever got was the "Insane in the Membrane" single given to me by a buddy.
Nice.
That's what introduced me into rap, and then I heard Bone Thugs, and that's how I just.
So you got some history here.
Yeah,
you do.
Boom.
Yeah. You know what's another interesting thing about this album is, you know, I knew the first Cypress Hill album had the song Hand on the Pump. This album had a song called Hand on the Glock. Yeah. And this was the day before the internet, so it was like, you heard the song and you're like, okay, is this a sequel song? It's like, it's almost the same song, but it's different lyrics, you know, and the chorus is kind of the same, but they're not talking Hand on the Pump, they're talking Hand on the Glock, you know? I was very confused at 14 years.
No, I'd never put two and two together.
I was like, you're telling me to smoke weed. Okay, I got that. But hand on the Glock? I thought I had my hand on the pump.
You were those kids. That's why kids like us couldn't listen to music because you were influenced by the lyrics.
Right.
I just want to listen to the music, man. The beats. Yeah. The beats.
Oh, I hear you. Hey, don't get me wrong. That's okay.
It's not a good thing he wasn't Manson.
Yeah, Muggs beats, man, they really coincided with, like, smoking. You know, that's absolutely.
They're, yeah.
The weed smoking rubbed off on me, not the hand on the Glock parts, you know. Now, let's use this to segue into Pearson salted nut rolls.
I just picture the me.
Yep. They don't even make noise.
They don't?
So it's like.
I just had to.
Let's talk about Pearson salted nut rolls. Pearson salted nut rolls made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hometown shit.
Oh, right on 7th Street, right?
So just so you know, if you're going to eat a Pearson salted nut roll, just know that if you have allergies to peanuts, you shouldn't be eating it. Because if you are, you're probably dead now. So talking about Cypress
Hill. Man,
talking about Cypress Hill, Muggs, was there any influence in his production to your production?
Absolutely. I to this day, I listen to it. I'm like, that. Like, I don't know where he got that. It must be like a wind blowing in an old eerie 40s horror film. Like, that's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, just, yeah, all the eerie tones he uses, and it's just, for sure, still inspires me.
What would you say inspires you the most to produce?
Inspires me to produce?
Yeah.
Like children?
Not rap.
Or beats?
Not talking about, no. Produce, make beats.
Make beats.
Yeah.
Every single morning I get up at roughly 3 to 4:30
a.m. A.m.?
And I'm the first one at Holiday every morning as soon as it opens up, and I get my coffee and make a beat.
Are you waiting at the door for them to unlock the door?
Usually.
They're like, oh, this guy is here again. The guy with the weird hair is
here.
They
know me by name.
Oh,
how you doing, Pete?
And I'm like, just great.
Heard your new album, hit the bomb.
Yeah. I get free coffees literally 3 out of 5 days a week.
Nice. That's cool.
That's how you know you're a superstar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting free coffee.
North St. Paul gangster shit.
Yep.
Everybody loves it there. Oh, yeah.
Free rainforest blend.
Maybe. We're gonna take it back here. I think I mentioned earlier that we met probably, it was in high school, and that's where I acquired my first Dirty Pool album. Tell them about Dirty Pool.
Dirty Pool. It was the first hip-hop group I was in. Rapped for a few years by myself, and then in high school met a few buddies that liked what I did, and it was actually DC was in that group. You guys all know DC the District. The Lunatics era. His younger brother, another buddy of ours, and Fat James, bass player of DOD, was in Dirty Pool as well. We all rapped. I made beats. We had a little 4-track cassette recorder and then mixed it down, burned. That was like when CDs first came out. Actually, our first album was on tape. We made copies of tapes, did the covers at Kinko's and shit, and then sold them in high school and probably sold 20 to 50 of them.
Nice.
I don't remember the number.
Gotta start somewhere.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
So when did you record your first album then, as yourself?
1993 or 4, right around the time of Black Sunday, ironically.
Nice.
My pops gave me a drum machine and keyboard, made all my own beats, and most of the shit back then was one track, one take. I had lyrics, and if I fucked up a song, I'd like start over two bars later, and then just continue on and do one take, and I'd... That's what I'd be like, that song's good. I'd throw the lyrics away and people would hear the mistake. And yeah, I put out literally like 19 to 20 MC Ren's tapes from then up until Dirty Pool. And just did it all by myself and made my own beats. And
now something, this was kind of off the subject here, but not really. Something that I admired your dad doing, and this is only because I know you that I know this, that your dad would record you when you were a kid. Like,
I got tapes, yeah.
Playing and talking.
I have my birth on tape.
Really?
I've been meaning to sample my birth.
Nice.
That's
cool,
my
man.
First,
who else can say that they did
I'll
that?
I'll never forget, yeah. My first time I heard it, I was like 20-something. I heard it, I was just one of those mind-blowing experiences.
Right.
Like, I just literally fucking crying like a little baby.
Like you were in your 20s? Or like,
Okay.
I thought you meant like when you were born.
Hearing yourself, like, it was just amazing.
The first time I came out of your mom's vagina, too, I was like, I was crying, too.
Yes.
I was like, yes. Oh, yes.
Perfect.
Oh, damn. I deserve
no,
it.
But that's cool, man. That's with today's technology. You video a lot of stuff, in that day and age, that was just really cool of your dad to even think to do that. Hearing you as a kid and
when I think back,
bang on a drum.
The only reason I think I know how to produce and engineer is because that must have been like my play area. I think he'd just stick me in the studio while he's out smoking weed and making his own music. Nah, he's a good dad. Good dad.
So your dad's all your friends know him. He's a good guy. Dave Rentz.
Yes,
and he's the musician as well.
Yes, sir.
Just fill us in.
DaveRentz.com.
All right.
That's all needs to be said. Check it. One man band.
R-E-N-T-Z.
Tribal hippie soul, just one of a kind. Check it out. Does
That's
art.
Amazing.
Does dot art, aboriginal art. Has inspired me in many ways in my life. So you should check it.
All right, so after the Dirty Pool stuff, we kind of joined up. We did the Lunatics thing. People know about that. Everyone knows about that. But now you're doing your own thing. You got Bloody Boombox, right?
Yes, sir.
So tell me about Bloody Boombox. Like, I don't know anything about it.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Like, you don't?
Bloody Poonbox, was it?
Bloody Boombox.
Boombox.
It's just basically just a launching pad. Boombox. It's the name of my crew, launching pad for all my MC Rent shit, and everything you've ever wanted out of a hip-hop label.
And
we will give you everything. Jazz, hardcore, hip-hop, soul, no country, rock and roll.
No country.
Hip-hop. BloodyBoombox.com.
How many albums have you done on Bloody Boombox here so far?
Five.
Five on Bloody Boombox?
Is it five?
I think it is.
Well, six with just the tip, I believe. Yeah.
Six with just, okay.
What albums are they?
We are actually re-releasing the first release under Bloody Boombox, I Smell Hip Hop, in the next few weeks.
Hmm.
My man, Fade McGee, Vita Fine Design on the artwork.
Oh, that sounds like it'd be good.
It was meant to be the next big boom after Lunatics, and I ended up being a butthole and decided to just make it digital, which I instantly regretted, and now's the time to bring it back, and just not going to have a big special shebang. But,
We should.
You should?
Yes, we should.
Shebang.
It's like that one of your best albums, man.
It's 2 years old. It's going to be available at BloodyBoombox.com. So with that,
Dirty Getaway.
Dirty Getaway.
Which is one of the best albums.
Fuck I Smell Hip Hop. Dirty Getaway.
Otis Owsley.
Oh,
Shock
and that
the bad
is
guy.
One of the best albums.
Ever.
Ever.
And then you got Definition of Dope.
One of the best albums.
Incredible.
Ever.
Metal.
Incredible.
Rock.
And then you got the newly released Give This Mother Crack.
Are you planning on doing another Otis Owsley album?
No, Otis was a one-time deal. I, for the lack of better words, always explain it as a dark period in my life. But I was just going through some tangs and some personal shit, and I wanted to try a different route. Was sick of doing the route I was doing, and I did it, and once again, instantly regretted it, and went back. I heard too many people say, "You'll always be MC Rentz." And then I shit my pants, and I changed my name back, you know? That was the deciding factor. I'm like, oh, I never shit my pants as MC Rentz, but I shit my pants as Otis. And
just wasn't the same, was it?
Yeah.
It smelled different?
Otis was supposed to be badass, and like, what's he doing shit in his pants? And it smelled different. It was weird. It was really weird.
It was white. White poop. White poop.
A little bit of red in it.
Yeah, there was a lot of red in it.
Since there's been a little cussing here, we should probably... And this is only my second episode. You guys can help me figure this out.
Has there been a little bit?
Yeah, that's cool.
I got to be honest. Did you expect anything else?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't.
Have we even sworn them?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
It hasn't been that bad.
It's just natural.
But we should probably take the time to just maybe figure out what cuss words should and should not be said. Just in general. Like, fuck. That's cool.
Well,
that's a good word.
I
love fuck.
With an average adult, I'd say fuck is a pretty common. It's almost lost its punch.
It's so diverse.
Yeah, it is.
Everything.
Yeah.
This is 2013.
Fuck.
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 Now, what about
I don't know. We can do without that word.
Yeah, that's a.
I actually thoroughly enjoy it.
Yes, it is because it is kind of. It's got that raw.
It's like it's British.
You fucking.
I say maybe
you should say it like that when you say.
What is this? Is this Russia?
Right. Yeah.
I thought this was America.
It is America. Yeah. You don't see the American flag on my fucking doorstep?
I fucking don't.
No, that's not. That doesn't make sense. You wouldn't wipe your feet on an American flag.
Do they call
you wipe your ass with it? I think we covered that. What are you working on now? What's next for Bloody Boombox? You just released GTMC. Get this ma cracking.
Yes, sir.
And
get this ma cracking. It's available for free on BloodyBoombox.com.
Mm-hmm.
The physical copy as well.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to pay us to put our dirty little fingers on it and stick it in an envelope.
Lick it.
And by the way, we always stick one of my baseball card, my collection. Have you seen my baseball card collection?
Before you ship them, do you smack it up, flip it, rub it down?
I don't know what song that is.
Do Me. Belle Biv DeVoe.
No, we got big plans for the year. We got another EP coming out right away.
Don't reveal all of it.
Springtime.
Don't blow your load now.
I'm just going to, whoever fucking... happens to check this out, they're going to happen to know. Yeah, we're planning another EP coming out in the springtime. Early Worm Gets the Bird. Artwork's already done. We're planning a tour, a little Midwest tour for a couple of weeks. The end of May. Coming to your town soon. We're going to keep this fucking this bitch rolling. Bloody Boombox.
Are you going to be hitting... the West Coast, East Coast, North Coast, South Coast.
We're working. It's in the planning stages still, but most likely the Midwest. We might do a little promotion out there, but at this point, gonna be us, No Name, who is the newest addition to Bloody Boombox, and some homies of ours, Sector 7G, and we're pretty much gonna fucking destroy shit.
Tell me about No Name.
He's a local legend. One dude I've always thought that I heard his shit back in the day, and I was always like, this dude should be doing more shit. I always wanted to see him perform, and ironically through Facebook, kept in touch here and there, and I'd give him new shit, and he dug it, and I'm like, hey, you should come out and do a track, and he's like, hey, let's do it. So he came out, and
he did it.
We rocked a track, Spiral Staircase, on Get This Mother Cracking, and we hit it off pretty good. Nice, mellow, quiet dude like myself, and one thing led to another. We recently started filming a video for it. We're getting this mother cracking.
He's a quiet, mellow guy like you, but goes ape shit on the mic.
Yeah,
ape shit,
pretty much.
All right, we're gonna spend a minute right now with Money over here. So Money is kind of the mystery man of Bloody Boombox. You know, he's working behind the scenes doing some shit, and you're going to school right now for graphic design, right?
Yeah, that's cool. Art Institute.
Yeah. I saw in the Bloody Boombox studio, there's a poster of some sort of mechanical bird type thing, right? Yeah. You did that?
That was an assignment for an illustration class. I actually had that printed, and I brought it over, and he was like, put it up.
And there it hangs. It hangs. Yeah. It looks good. Looks very good.
Thank you.
So what's your role with Bloody Boombox then?
I'm the legitified hype man. Newest addition, actually. Well, we've been doing this for half a year now.
14 years.
Well, yeah.
14.
Yeah.
Being on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
14.
So let me ask you this. At the GTMC CD release show, which was a couple weekends ago, you and As Is Hyped, was there, like, I almost thought there was going to be a hype man fight. But there wasn't. There wasn't, thankfully.
Too. But I know, I actually...
I was concerned about who was going to get hyper. Hyper than the other hype. You know, how hype can it get? But it worked out. It worked out.
Yeah.
What are the height requirements to be a hype man for MC Rents?
6'6".
6'6", at least. Start, yeah. At least.
A pure chocolate, 6'6", 250.
Yeah.
220. What's the
6'1", 225.
220. 225. Pure chocolate. Yeah, I was way off. I'm a fucking idiot. God, I hate myself.
Don't do all that.
No, yeah. This got depressing.
God.
This depressing.
That's one of those. Fuck.
So where can we hear Bloody Boombox music?
Bloodyboombox.com.
Just like you said earlier? Same place?
Same. Yeah, bloodyboombox.bandcamp.com.
MySpace?
As well.
You guys going to do the MySpace deal?
I heard about MySpace.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, man. JT is majority owner of it. Suit and tie. He's got a new song.
It's been a while, though.
Yeah, but it just re-released. Like, I haven't even...
Facebook's where it's at.
Yeah.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. With technology, it could shift. It could shift.
Back to MySpace.
To MySpace. Yeah. Full circle.
Well, it'd be our space.
I haven't been on MySpace for a while. Yeah. Probably 4 or 5 years.
So I wonder if all of our old profiles are still there.
Well, I know mine is, but I can't get into the thing because I don't know my password.
You know what? Fuck you, Justin Timberlake. Reset his password. Maybe give you some of the JT money.
Yeah. Tell him to grab Lance Bass and play us 2-on-2 in some hoops while we discuss about this shit. Put him on his ass.
All right, bloodyboombox.com, facebook.com/bloodyboombox.
Bloodyboombox.com.
And?
That's it.
You on Twitter? Do you twit?
I rarely do. It's fucking annoying, actually.
But people need to follow.
I don't get it.
You need followers.
What the fuck?
You go to
all about,
you go to bloodyboombox.com, go on that Facebook, you'll be able to link in to everything.
Facebook.com/MCRents. Facebook.com/bloodyboombox. Bloodyboombox.com.
That should be a commercial.
It should.
You fucking killed that. You know what? There is way too many fucking... The Twitter thing, that's unnecessary.
It's just ridiculous.
It's not even cool. What the fuck do I need to know what the hell you're doing every second
my
of every
Twitter
day?
My Twitter connects to my Facebook, so I make sure my Facebook sees, but there's nobody specifically on Twitter. Is there?
There is, but I don't know why.
If you don't like Black Sunday, and if you are on Twitter exclusively, then I will fuck you.
Are you saying
up.
Like the combination of the two?
Either or.
Because at first,
Twitter that I just
if
tweeted,
you don't like Black Sunday, and if you exclusively like Twitter, I will fuck you up even worse than you could imagine. God, that's just ridiculous.
Now you're upset. I really shouldn't have even gone there. Now you're upset. Oh, boy. I hate to end it like
this.
I'm going
to fucking tweet about it tomorrow.
Hey, wait.
I can tweet now.
Yeah, do
it. Y'all hear that podcast? Would they remove you from Twitter if you just wrote and tweeted, fuck Twitter?
I don't think so. People have to say that every day, I'm sure. You know, I remember specifically in the Lunatics days, Big Joe of PLC's manager, he said something about like, hey, we just made a PLC Facebook page. And this was when it was all MySpace, you know? And I was like, oh, great, another one of those. Yeah. It's like a knockoff of MySpace.
I hate it.
No one's going to use it, right? So I was like, I'm not going to create like a Lunatics or Ruthless or anything. And that was probably a mistake.
You were wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong. I was so wrong. So wrong. So, Big Joe, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I should have listened to you, man. Man, we'd be millionaires right now. We wouldn't be doing stupid podcast.
I tell you what, I wouldn't have 400 likes on Facebook. It'd be like 4,000 at this point. And then if I wanted to delete it a year ago, once I already had like 800. Oh, man.
Damn, Doug.
Oh, you can't revive.
I deleted everything.
Damn.
Right before Bloody Boombox. I was one pissed off motherfucker. I almost killed a cat that was meowing at the door and shit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna mention that.
I don't like cats.
I love cats.
I love cats.
Just not that one.
I don't like cats. I don't like white people. All right, last thought. Plug something. Say something good.
I like white people with cats, though.
I have a cat.
Casey Min, what do you got to say?
Casey Min.
I like Pearson salted nut rolls.
Yeah, don't be a butthole.
Don't be a butthole. Eat a Pearson salted nut roll.
Ah, shit.
Yeah.
BloodyBoombox.com. Check them out. MC Rents, Money, Casey Min.
Yeah.
SMC.
What letter combination are you going for?
No.
I don't know.
We'll cut that one.
Don't forget about TV. Don't forget about
CBS.
MNOP.
CBS. TTYL.
It's all the same.
ASL.
All the brothers. Hey. Have a good night, guys. We love you. You're probably jogging right now on your iPod. Got your headphones in. Probably jogging.
Earbuds.
If you look to your right, you'll see a dog pooping on a lawn.
Possibly. I hope.
Normally when you look at a dog that's out, you'll see him pooping. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, that's deep.
Usually he's not just in the yard. He's usually pooping.
Yeah.
No matter where he is. It's not that deep. That's just pretty obvious.
Right.
You're a dum-dum.
But if you think about it, it's deep.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Take a second.
ThankYouRob.com. Go there. You can follow me on Twitter. But my Twitter is a lead right you to Facebook. They link right to Facebook. Yep. So it doesn't matter.
You know, fuck all that fucking shit. Seriously. Fuck Facebook. Fuck Twitter. I like it. I like it, but I don't love it. The real shit's out in the real world. Go out and shake a person's hand.
You know what you should do? Here's what people should do. Instead of tweeting something like your thought, just walk up to some random person and tell them.
Not for what real. You're thinking. For real. That's I mean that's what it is. It's like
people don't even have the balls to tell you to your face anymore, but they'll jump on Facebook and
getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand.
Anonymity.
It's gonna come to a stop soon and we're gonna be the ones left standing laughing at you fucks.
Yeah. Pointing too.
And I use that shit. Yeah. But
I know one thing.
I just wanted to say shit, but
thankyourob.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, seriously, Rob?
What?
Thank you.
You're welcome.